He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Just a few questions. English speaker, just a few questions. All right, so if you have any questions, you want to call Dr. Lawrence or someone to come and lead us. If you have questions, take them in probably threes, and then a dear one will respond to you. That's a kind of any question, just go free. All right, it may be about you, maybe about you. Just go free. Any question that once we have the idea, there are questions about them, you can kindly bring them out so that I'll share with you.
Christ in you.
Please
let's not be shy. This is an opportunity to ask questions that have been on your heart. A woman of God has brought us a beautiful and wonderful word that has been very detailed. You will probably never hear this message somewhere else. So if there's something that is on your heart that you want to ask, ask now. We also have a Google form, so if you're feeling shy about asking your questions, you can send your question to the Google form and I'll read it out on your behalf. So please, do you have any questions? If there's a Google form link on the page. Okay. So our first question here. Lady Reverend, please, what do you have to say about families trying to connect a man and a woman for marriage? What do you have to say about families trying to connect a man and a woman? Then the other question we also have is, what do you do as a man if a lady you really like says it's not mutual? Then you have to keep
it. I think you should read the second one again.
What do you do as a man if a lady you really like says it's not mutual?
You accept it. You accept it because don't go with something that will not work. But unless you are like Jacob and you think it will work, so you will labor for 7 more years. But usually, it's a waste of time. You shouldn't plant where you will not harvest anything, you know. And also, if she's meant for you, pray about it and see God work. She said that she didn't banish you. She said you should remain friends. Maybe the friends will turn into something more permanent. Amen. And then the first one is, if families are
trying to connect you,
I would say that we meet our partners in different ways. And the world has made us think that when somebody is recommended to you, then it's not love. Or it means the relationship is, you know, it has to be spontaneous. When she saw me, like the recital, I saw bubbles. Hey, it's not supposed to be like that. But when you look in the Bible, Abraham sent his servant, not even a pastor, his servant, Eliza, to go and look for a wife for Isaac in far away Canaan because he didn't want his son to be married to any of the Canaanites, the heathen people. So he sent his servant. And when the servant was going, he took gifts and things in anticipation that he would meet a wife. And when he got to the well, I believe that he looked for one quality, a woman who was not self-centered. Because he said that, when I ask her for water, let her give me, which is humility, because in those days, servants dressed as servants. So Rebecca knew that this is a servant. Some of our modern sisters would say that You don't look at yourself before you ask somebody to give you water. Eh? And besides, you are the man. I've come to the well. I should throw the bucket and just give you water. You are an opportunist. But Rebecca had a heart of service. So she just served. Sister, service is beautiful. You know? I tell my daughters, the fact that they say, oh, a woman should guide the house, say, it's patriarchy. Why can't the man also do some whatever? It's just role differentiation. The man also does things that I don't do. Do you understand? And it doesn't mean that the person is demeaning you. Jesus said, if you want to be great in this kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. So have a servant spirit. It will help you to serve your husband in a good spirit because you are thinking about Jesus and his words. Amen? So when Rebecca came, she gave the man water. And the man said, let her give me and also give my camels, even non-consequential things like camels. And Rebecca did. And that was the sign. And he put rings and things on Rebecca. Just a wedding, they are starting engagement. He brought all the things already. He said, which home are you from? Let's go home. He took her to the house and they asked Rebecca, will you go with this man? And Rebecca said, yes, I'll go without seeing the man. Hey, whether he's tall, whether he's short, whether he's handsome, whether he's, you don't know. She said that she will go. There's a lot of faith also in marriage because you can't see everything. We walk by faith, not by sight. So she went. And when she was meeting him, the Bible says she put a veil and she got down from the donkey. And then she was walking. And Isaac just took her into her tent and was comforted. Hey, you will be angry. Hey. So please, sometimes we have a mutual friend or somebody, you know, when you look at the person, this person and this person, they'll make a good team. Why don't we try and connect them? There's nothing wrong with it. There are different ways of killing a cat. But you know, you've watched movies. So the person should be slain. And the person should be slain. You are the only mosquito in my net. And all these types. So please, there's nothing wrong with recommendation. In fact, it is very good.
Then the next question, what do you say about in-laws being involved in your marriage?
The Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one. So the in-laws must take a back seat, and you and your husband are now going to forge your life. But it doesn't mean that you should be mean to the in-laws. Some in-laws are very mean. But as a Christian, you don't follow that with meanness. You know, I prayed before I got married. My mother didn't really have in-laws in that sense because my father was an orphan. You see, but I had heard stories and read stories, so I prayed. I said, God, give me in-laws that love me. Give me in-laws that flow with me. Give me, and God answered it, you know. My husband always says I'm closer to his mother than he is to her. You see, but I always see it as God's answer. And recently, my sister-in-law was asking me, but you Adelaide Cry, you are on our family WhatsApp. You are the only in-law there. We just discovered. How can I say you put me there? I didn't put myself, you know. So it's possible. God can also, I'm saying that to say, before you get married, pray about some of these things. And also, your in-laws cannot be involved in the marriage. The man and the woman have to leave and cleave. But it doesn't mean that you also throw your in-laws away. After all, Naomi was an in-law to Ruth, and that is what brought Ruth the blessing. And Naomi said something to Ruth. He said that, the Lord deal with me, with you kindly, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So Naomi saw that Ruth had married her sons properly, Ruth and Orpah, and also that they had also dealt with her well. So deal with your in-laws well. Love never fails. In-laws can be some way. But if you deal with them well, God will use that to bless you. It's God who blesses, not the in-laws. So don't become antagonistic, you know. Just love them. Love your enemies. So if the person has defined himself as your enemy, just love them and allow God to do the rest. But in-laws should not take center stage in the marriage. What God has put together, let no man, including your mother and your father, put them asunder. Amen.
Is it really necessary to talk to your partner about everything? Isn't there room for certain secrets?
Well, what I would say is the motive for the secrets. You may not have to share everything, but the motive should be right. The motive for the secret. And then also I have found that some things, when I tell my sistering, I get better feedback than my husband because he doesn't get it. Do you understand? He will say that, what are you saying? Oh, as for you women, you sisters, so I go to my sisters. Do you understand? Like how Mary went to Elizabeth. But mind the person you go to. The person you go to may not be Elizabeth, maybe Jezebel, Delilah. You don't want that. But I think that outside your marriage, you are allowed to have fellowship and friends with other people, especially other ladies, other men, so far as they are godly and they will lead you the right way. Yeah.
Please, what do you do if you're a man and you're ready for a relationship or marriage, but then the lady you love tells you she's not ready?
Move on, huh? There are many other beautiful ladies and good ladies. So if she's not ready, and you men too, you can, maybe you are 32, then you want 21. She's not ready. She's also doing other things in her life, you know? So all that depends. But if she's not ready, you can move on because there are so many sisters in this fellowship. So many nice, eligible sisters. God does not make one person for you, but God leads you to the right people. And God also takes into consideration your desires. That's why they asked Rebecca, after everything, will you go? Will you go? And she said, yes, I will go. And Corinthians says, if she be willing to marry him, so you should be willing, you see. So if she's not ready, maybe not that she's not ready, she doesn't like you, but she's being polite, but somebody will love you. And somebody will care for you.
Amen.
So move on, okay?
My boyfriend has a problem when people gift me things like money, phones, taking me on dates. In the name of, he feels disrespected. But Lady Rev, I'm a woman and I need things too. I can't resist.
If I were your boy, I'll leave you today now. It's finished. God created one man, one woman in marriage and in relationships. You cannot be receiving things from other men, going on dates with them, and then you say you are in a relationship with me. I think that you cannot serve God and mammon. You either love one and hate the other. So you are looking at your interest and what you want, but you must be prepared to give up something if the relationship means anything to you. You have to count the cost. So if you can't count the cost, sister, bow out and let somebody who can count the cost come and take over. Amen.
Somebody say
heat.
We're answering deep questions. Lady Rev, please, when you have been with a guy for 2.5 years, and any time you ask him where you stand and he tells you he's looking for something in you and he's not found it yet.
Please go.
Let me land. There's a but. But he asks for sex and nudes from you even though you're both Christians.
Are you a Christian?
Even though you're both Christians. What do you do?
It's a bad sign. I think you should have left him after a year. I don't know why you waited for 2.5. Don't be afraid, though. Leave him. God will provide. As he's asking you for sex all the time, he doesn't even have the fear of God. It's different if he's fighting temptation, but this one he's asking, oh, let's just get on with it, you know. And that's what he's looking for in you that he has not found. And he's not going to find it. So, you know, my dad said, and I've read in the Bible, so I'll show you where. If a man wants to marry you, he's the one always talking about marriage. So when he asked me about my husband, I said, you see, my dad was so strict, so I didn't tell him I had a beloved for 4 years. And then later he said that, hey, I see this Lebanese boy always coming to visit. At first he said he doesn't want to. He said, Lebanese boy is very bad. I don't want to study, he's not Lebanese. But anyway, he said, I see this Lebanese boy. Is he special? My heart missed the beat. How will I answer such a question? So I said, yes, daddy. And he said, I'd finished school. And he said, I remember where we were driving. He said, does he talk about marriage? I said, yes. And she said, he said that, who talks about marriage more, you or him? I said, he, all the time. I said, marry him. Good sign. Just go ahead, marry him. You know? So if a man will marry you, he will be serious. But when he's 2.5 years, sister, it's not even statute bad. The limitations have come. I'm talking to science students, isn't it?
We are totally lost.
So I think that you shouldn't waste your time. When Ruth met Boaz, and Naomi said that when Boaz likes you, he will not sit down till this matter has been put to rest. So it's a sign. When a man is serious, he's looking at marriage, he's looking at the future. But when for 2.5 years, what he's looking for in you, he has not found. Sister, you are wasting your time. Advise yourself.
Please, what is the essence of marriage if in heaven there will be no marriage and we forget the love we share as couples?
There will be marriage in heaven. Revelations 21, verse 1, I believe. Can we have it? Revelations 21, I think 1 to 4. I saw a new heaven, a new earth. I said, okay, 2. I think it's 4. Then, no, 2. 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city new, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Okay, and the Bible says that there will be a marriage feast and Jesus will marry us because we are the bride of Christ. Amen. He didn't choose friendship, he chose marriage. So there's no marriage in heaven because you are married to Jesus and God is against bigamy. Okay?
Yes,
so there's marriage in heaven.
Do if the family is against the relationship because of tribal differences?
I believe that you can sometimes, depending on God's leading, pray about it and believe God to change things. I'm saying that based on experience, because my mother said that I shouldn't marry a gun because all boxers are guns and they beat. So I didn't know that. I said, we said, yes, Oblite Komi, DK Poison, I Quartin, Azuma Nelson, they are all guns. So if I marry a gun, the gun will beat me. And I kept telling her, I said, you just have to know the person. And if you knew the person, you would know that God has visited us. You know, but she wouldn't listen and she didn't agree. But my husband and I, we kept praying. We kept praying for favor, for God to come through for us. And he did. He did before we married. So I think that you should try and fight for consent, you know. But sometimes you can see that it's not going anywhere. But my mother said that, but my father didn't say that, you see. So God came through for us. It's not everybody that is like that. And then also, it's not because our parents just want to be funny. Some people's tribe is stronger than their Christianity. I don't know if you understand. The tribe, as many as are led by this, they are led by their tribe. You know, and you can see that the tribe or the family influence is beyond his commitment or her commitment to God. So in that case, sometimes it's very real. I had a friend who had a tribal difference, and I told her, oh, he's born again, he speaks in tongues, you don't need all that. Now, if I had to live again, I wouldn't say that, because she went into the marriage and the tribal thing fought the marriage and ended it, you see. So now I would say, look closely. The person is deeply in his tribe and the tribe is, you know, it says be strong in the Lord, but he is strong in the gun, or he's strong in the fancy, or he's strong in the ever, very strong. Then please go and look for your country woman, country man.
Lady Rev, please, I'd like to know how you prepared to be a pastor's wife before marriage, and were there any shortcomings when you initially got married?
When what?
were there any shortcomings when you initially got married?
There are still shortcomings. There are still shortcomings. Anyway, to prepare to be a pastor's wife, I think I was just a Christian. And so just be a Christian. It's not even the position, it's not the... Just be a child of God and love God for yourself. When you love God for yourself, you have a relationship with Him, it will affect everything. It will affect the way you treat God's people. It will affect the way you release your husband to ministry. It will affect how you deal with your lonely times. It will affect how you deal with church members who rub you the wrong way. It will affect how you handle your problems. Your relationship with God, I think, cements everything. And were there any shortcomings? There are still shortcomings, you know. Sometimes I did feel lonely, but I think that because I had mentors like Aretha Hagen, Kenneth Hagen's wife, and Price's wife, I had read a bit about ministry. So that helped me a bit. But yes, there were times when I was fearful, what's going to happen? But God took care of us, things like that. So when two rivers meet, there's some roughness before it begins to flow, you know. So yes.
Maybe we take the last three questions so that she can probably can rest.
Let me look for the deep questions. So I do justice. I think you've kind of already addressed this, but please, when you've been with a guy for 2 years and he tells you jokingly there are two others that he's looking at, but he really loves you, and doesn't really go hard for you, even when you need personal support, and he doesn't talk about marriage either, what do you do? I think you kind of answered
some of the questions. I don't know. He has two other people. Look, sister, pack your bags and leave. Now. Don't wait for anything. Call the nearest Uber and go. And also, are people Christians? Okay, maybe he's considering all the three of you at the same time. You've gone to add yourself.
Just to join multiple questions together. A lot of people are asking about how they know when somebody is the one, or if there's one ideal person for them, especially if they're considering multiple people, they're all their spec. How do they decide who they should be with?
I think that God gives us some guidelines through His word, you know? The person should not be unequally yoked. And also Amos 3:3, can any two walk except they be agreed? You may be Christians, but you may not be agreed. What is the vision of the man? Are you prepared to follow? I have a very good friend, brilliant lawyer. I always used to tease her that she'll be a professor. And then she married a doctor here. And then they took their journey to America. And when they got there, they looked at each other and said, who specializes first? And in the end, the man specialized first because he went out there to work and all that. And then she had her children and all that, and maybe started to do things later, you know. And some of you, you already have set your goals in iron. It's written, you know. I'll be a professor by 2025. Now you've gone to the man has carried you somewhere. Sometimes on mission, sometimes on ministry. Since I met him, he destroyed my dreams. No, he didn't destroy your dreams. Can any two walk except they be agreed? So some of the things that you see, ask yourself whether you can live with them. And also things change. You see, a friend of mine, she said that she married her husband as a pharmacist. 2 years into the marriage, he says God has called him. And she didn't want to marry a pastor. What are you going to do? So marry the person. Knowing that there are so many changing scenes of life, do you understand? And know that it's going to alter your life. Count the cost. If it means putting your profession on hold, what are you going to do? You have to do other things. Suddenly you become a baker because you're on the mission field. What are you going to do? Look at where they've brought us. They knew that there was no clinic here. Now I've become a baker. I've become all things to all men. Have you not heard of doctors who have become politicians and traders? For the sake of politics. So things happen. So staying open, malleable, especially seeking the will of God, I think is the best way. What was the question again?
It was a general
how you choose
how to choose a person. So except they be agreed, the person's vision, What are the person's values? Even if he's a Christian, what are his values? What is his outlook on life? If you marry him, will you become poorer than when you first began? You can see signs, you know? So look at all that. A friend of mine said that her husband-to-be, every day you call him in winter, he's asleep. Every day. When you say you don't work, say I'm on benefits. You're going to marry somebody who is on benefits. Why? So you can see. So can any two work except David? So God will give you all these. But at the end of the day, it's your choice. What you like, what makes you happy, what it also comes in. So you choose. Okay?
How do I overcome childhood traumas before I get married?
By allowing the Lord, the word of God to heal you. I know you are in a generation where you believe a lot in therapy. And I am not against therapy, but I think it should be Christ-centered. Because the Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 20, I believe, or 105, that he sent forth his word to heal you and to deliver you from all your distractions. So God's word heals. You may think you are the only one with childhood traumas, but a lot of people have been through that. By allowing God's word to heal you and believing that it is enough. People don't believe that it's enough. When you say, oh, forgive. Lady Reverend, forgive. But it's very hard, though. But he said it would be easy. He didn't say. So allow God's word to heal you, and you'll come through. Joyce Meyer was raped continuously by her father from the age of 5 up to the age of 18. And then, because of that, she married very early so that she would just get out of the house. But today, she's a great preacher because the word of God has healed her. And when she shares the story, it's always very teary for me. You will cry that a father can treat a daughter that way. You cannot believe it. And once he took her in the car and raped her, and a police officer came, and he said, oh, instead of catching me, you to have a go. And the police officer had a go at your own daughter. And after that, the father, when she grew up, fell ill. And God said, go and bring the man to your house and care for him. And her husband said, no. And Joyce Meyer said, God has said it. So she brought him and then was able to lead him to Christ. Before then, she had not been able, because he always said, oh, get away, you enjoyed it. At the age of 5? At the age of 5? But towards his death, he got born. I saw the picture. She was baptizing him. I mean, she said, at the beginning, she used to ask God, why did everybody have a normal childhood? And I had all these traumas. But she has come to see that God uses things for his purpose, and that's okay. Paula White, great preacher, also abused. Juanita Bynum, great preacher, also abused. So God's word does heal and does make us whole. Believe it more than the things of the world. Amen.
Amen. We are almost there. My boyfriend and I don't attend the same church, and neither of us want to leave our church after marriage. So the main question is, do married couples have to attend the same church?
Ideally, yes. Because one couple married a charismatic brother married a Catholic sister. And they came to see me. And the Catholic sister was telling me, what I can't stand is when he wakes up in the morning, he's speaking in tongues instead of counting his rosary. And that he said he had been trying to go for her programs, Corpus Christi and things. But the lady, in the end, the marriage broke, you know. So, but it's not always, because some parents, some are Methodist, some are Anglican, and it works. But you people have to work out your compromise. But I think that ideally, you should be in the same church, ideally. Because you hear the same things. You attend the same conventions. Not that one has a program and one is at home. One has this and one is there. One has a pastor here and one is there. But having been a pastor for some years, some of these things come about because people become difficult. Some people leave the church and take their wife to another church and dump her there. And then they don't go to church. What is that? At first, I used to say, oh, follow him. No, I don't say that. I say you need wisdom to know what to do.
So our last question. Somebody say miss.
Yes.
Kramisu. Lady Rev, please when you meet someone and the person talks about marriage and he's a preacher of the word, but his joystick is very small. What do you do?
What's joystick? Please educate me. What's joystick? I don't know what it is. Educate me. I don't know what it is. Shelly, please, what's joystick? How do you know? Honestly, I feel there are a lot of unbelievers in our midst. It's true, because when you go to Christian programs, the type of questions, it makes me feel that people don't know the word. Or how do you know? You are not supposed to discover your husband's nakedness. And in our marriage counseling manual, which was also written by doctors, we know that it's not how big or how whatever that leads to effectiveness at all. It's a deception. Amen? So go and buy the marriage manual and look at that chapter. But how do you know? You are not supposed to see your man's nakedness. I saw a pastor preaching and said that Christians say you shouldn't see a man's nakedness. But before you marry the person, hold it and see. A pastor. And after that, she showed where her church is. She showed where her church is. I have the clip. I actually know the person. Not in my church, but... So anyway.
So with that, that ends up.
God bless us all.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit at the Kodesh, North Kaneshi. Or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.